the last line of that song as it's referring to our death here on earth. It just really convicted me that Jesus would be our all. And one of the things that I became convicted of is really the brevity of life. A few weeks ago, I had the chance to meet a young man by the name of Will. And Will was in the hospital room dying of cancer. And we, as a church body, we were in the hospital thanks to some invitations by Julie and Brian and some others. And we're sitting there getting ready to go see Will. And we walk into the room, and here's this man, early 30s, skin and bones, holding on for dear life. And we pray for him. We pray for his wife. We pray for the situation and for God's glory to be revealed in this situation. And I just got news this morning, actually, that Will passed away on Friday. And I think about my week, and I think about everything I've done leading up to this moment. Every chance I had to give God glory. And how much of that was spent selfishly, thinking of myself, thinking of my own comfort, thinking of the things that I want. And so I rejoice in the fact that Will was the man who knew the Lord. And as his days were passing, that it was evident that he was hanging on to the hope of Christ. And I pray that we would be sensitive to that. And it's especially difficult when we have our health and we have so many other things going on that we can negate the need to be obedient to the Lord and to seek him with all that we have. And that even today, he can be our all. So that is where my heart is this morning as I prepare to share the word. And as we're closing the book of Philemon, and today we're going to be looking at the issue of reconciliation. I'll just be honest and upfront into saying that this in and of itself can be informative and yet can have no impact in our lives. That if we were to simply be hearers of the word, we are ultimately deceiving ourselves. And so my prayer is that as we walk out today, hearing the word of God, that we would respond and be a doer of the word. And so in the previous weeks, I've been alluding to verse 17 over and over again, because I truly believe that the crux of Philemon is right there in that verse. That if Paul was to tweet one message about the book of Philemon, it would be verse 17. Or if he had Instagram, I'm sure he would take the camera, point it at him, Onesimus next to him, take the picture. His arm is probably on the border of the picture because he's holding it himself. And verse 17 would be the tag. But I can't be hypothetical about these things because every word of God is intentional. And so Philemon, the book, does not come with just verse 17, but we have a slew of verses before and a few after. And so in the grand scheme of things, realize that the ultimate purpose as to why Paul is writing Philemon is he wants Philemon to take back Onesimus, who was Philemon's former slave, and to take him back as if he would receive Paul himself. And so let me read the scriptures, and we'll be pausing between each verse. Verse 17. So, if you consider me your partner, receive him as you would receive me. Let me pray for us as we continue. God, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the truth of reconciliation and the example that is set forth here in this book. And God, I pray that our hearts would be in tune to you, and that you would give us the discernment to understand and to apply what we discover in your word. And it's through you, Jesus, I pray. Amen. Verse 17. So, if you consider me your partner, receive him as you would receive me. And we spent the past 2 weeks just looking at the ways that Paul has been intentional about appealing to Philemon. And when he finally makes his request, which he alludes to earlier in verse 10, I appeal to you for my brother Onesimus. But the actual content of the request is here in verse 17. So, in light of everything I've said before, in light of the fact that I am a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ, in light of the fact that I give thanks and give praise to God for you and your work, in light of the fact that I consider Onesimus my own son, my very heart, in light of my appeal, here is my request. If you consider me a partner, receive him as you would receive me. And last week we looked at the idea that Paul is fully invested in the life of Onesimus. Like, you can tell that he did not just simply speak truth into his life, but he spent time with this man. He actually cared for this man to the point that even when he makes his request, he puts himself as a comparison. That Philemon, to take back Onesimus, I want you to do so in the same way that you would receive me. Very early on, as I started my internship, I was approached by Andrea. And Andrea asked me very kindly, Hansley, have you ever discipled someone before? And I thought about that question, and I thought about just giving her a generic answer, you know, like, well, all Christians disciple. But I knew I couldn't get away with it, because she's standing there looking at me, right? Probably looking for a name of someone I've discipled. And so I looked at Andrea and said, well, you know what? I've invested in people's lives, but in terms of actually discipling someone, Andrea, I can't with a conviction and a certainty say that I've done that. And her response was, Hansley, I will be praying for you to have someone that you are discipling. And it is so important that in our Christian life, that not only do we give ourselves to God, that he pours us and equips us and make us grow, but we would in turn be willing to pour ourselves into the life of others, as Paul so beautifully and illustratively does so with Onesimus. We've looked at what he's done previously and how he compares himself and how he speaks of Onesimus as his own child. And in the following verses, we're going to see how Paul is even willing to take financial responsibility for Onesimus. So, verse 17 says, Paul, if you consider me your partner, if you consider me a co-laborer in the gospel, Philemon, here is my last appeal before I make my request. Receive him as you would receive me. Let's read verse 18 and 19. If he has wronged you at all or owes you anything, charge that to my account. Verse 19, I, Paul, write this with my own hand. I will repay it, to say nothing of your owing me even your own self. So Paul makes this request, and he realizes that Onesimus could be in the wrong, because for all intended purposes, though the text does not explicitly say what happened, it is very probable that Onesimus simply ran away, and in the process may have even stolen from Philemon to make the journey to Rome. Now, Paul, understanding the hindrance that this may cause Philemon, and yet wanting reconciliation to be a reality, makes his request and goes out of his way so that as much as possible, whatever is hindering this reconciliation to take place, Paul is fully invested in this reality. And he says, look, if he has wronged you in any way, if he stole from you, whatever financial detriment that has resulted from Onesimus leaving, I want you to charge it to my account. If the restriction for the reconciliation is your need to be received back what you're owed by Onesimus, then Paul says, I will pay it myself. If he owes you anything. Now, for one thing, there's the stuff that Onesimus may have taken. But we're also talking about everything, which would include the responsibilities that Onesimus once had and walked out from. And so whatever accrued in that process, whether it's a replacement for someone else to do that work or the loss of productivity, for however long that is, Paul is willing to cover that. That whatever it is, if he owes you anything or if he has wronged you in any way, charge that to my account, says Paul. And he continues in verse 19. I, Paul, write this myself. And it's almost this promissory, I owe you, this is binding signature. I, Paul, emphatic, I, comma, Paul, yes, me. I write this myself. And it would be very typical in those days to have a scribe. And so as Paul is speaking, there's a scribe who is writing. And yet Paul goes out of his way, and he may have even composed the entire letter himself in terms of his writing. As he is in prison, he takes whatever utensil he was writing with. I, Paul, write this myself. This is binding, and I am fully committed to restitution. Because for me, To understand the love of Christ is to respond in a way that is in accordance to his love. And what I want, what my joy is I want my joy to be in the Lord. And whatever it takes for this reconciliation to take place between you, Philemon, and your former slave, Onesimus, I am willing to go for it. I am appealing to you for this matter. I am requesting for this matter. And I am even willing for you to charge this to my account. And this is binding. I, Paul, write this myself. And he continues, I will repay it, to say nothing of your owing me, even your own self. Now, for those of you who are married, I'm pretty sure you've used this tactic before. Like, you say you're not going to mention something, and in the process, you actually mention it. You know what I mean? Like, look, I know last time I said I was never going to bring up, right? Then you bring it up, like, for real, right? So there's this tactic of, like, Paul is like, not to mention, and then he mentions it, right? And what is he mentioning, right? To say nothing of your owing me even your own self. So this is a reflection of Paul's ministry to Philemon. He already considers Onesimus his child. And now he goes to Philemon and says, listen, I am willing to pay back whatever Onesimus stole from you, wronged you, or owes you. But if you want to talk about debt, let me not mention how much you owe me in terms of your very self. And so, whether Paul directly spoke the gospel to Philemon or through Paul's ministry, Philemon got the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ and him dying on the cross and having provided eternal life for Philemon. This verse is referencing the fact that Paul had something to do with Philemon's conversion. And that his very self, his identity in Christ, has resulted because of Paul's involvement in Philemon's life. So if you want to talk about debt, if you want to talk about owing something, let me not mention the fact that you owe me your very self. And this is so, so relieving, especially for me, because I can get caught up, especially when I'm wronged, I can get caught up in my need for justice or vengeance or just payback and fail to realize just how indebted I am as a sinner saved by grace, that nothing in and of myself could bring about the reality that I now stand as a man who knows the Lord through Jesus and who is looking forward to spending an eternity with him, as a man who's been transformed by the gospel. And in light of what has been given to me, nothing in comparison holds weight. And so Paul is saying, if this is your hindrance, look, I'm even willing to cover it myself, but I hope and I pray that you can look beyond that. And don't forget the fact that you, Philemon, you are a child of God. So don't get caught up in whatever you may sense that Onesimus owes you. And even if you rightly feel wronged by his actions, it does not change the fact that you rightly are not deserving of this new life that you now have been given by the grace of God. That I, Paul, I've had the privilege of being a part of, whether directly or indirectly, that your very self is owed. And I truly believe that Paul's motivation is just this understanding that nothing surpasses the value of knowing Christ Jesus. And so it's not this, you better do this, this is your duty, more so than, do you understand the gospel? And if you truly do, and if you truly consider yourself a partner, a fellow worker in the gospel, receive him as you would receive me. That your very self has been transformed. And it is not your own. And so I pray that your hindrance is not this debt. But even if it is, I am willing to cover it. I, Paul, write this myself, and I want that to be binding. Let's continue. Verse 20. Yes, brother, I want some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. And if you notice in verse 20, he uses very similar language as he does in verse 7. And so during his Thanksgiving between verse 4 and before verse 8, so from 4 to 7, Paul is giving thanks to God for the work that Philemon is doing, for his faith in Jesus and his service in the saints. And look at verse 7. He ends the Thanksgiving with this. For I have derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. And now in verse 20, yes, brother, I want some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. And so Paul acknowledges the fact that Philemon has operated in this Christian love before. He praises God for it every time he thinks of him in his prayers. And he mentions the fact that he is encouraged by it and that the saints, the other Christians, are encouraged and they are refreshed as they receive from this ministry of Philemon that is birthed out of his faith to Jesus. And Paul goes back and almost references the fact that, listen, this is not only possible, but this has been evidenced before in you. And yes, brother, I, as a saint, I want to be refreshed in the Lord. Philemon, I want you to do this. The same love that I am appealing to you with, the same love that I've seen evidence and praise God for, that's what I want to be refreshed by. I want some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. And so this reconciliation, this thing that Paul is wanting Philemon to do, is an act of obedience to the will of God, an act of love. And he encourages him that as you continue in your Christian walk, do this. And I think we as believers, we can get so caught up in the action of things. And so we see something and we want it changed, and so we attack the action. Do this, don't do that. Do this, don't do that. Whereas Paul is constantly striking at his heart, because he knows that if Philemon is obedient to the will of God, the chips will fall as they may. So he's not necessarily concerned about taking this chip and putting it here. No. Be obedient. And let the chips fall as they may. And I talked about it last week as well, that he doesn't even address the issue of slavery. That his bigger concern is Philemon, do the will of God. And whatever I can do for that to take place in your life, I am willing. I am willing to appeal to you, to make this request made known unto you in my imprisonment, to write you personally, to set up accountability around you, to cover the cost of whatever that was wrong to you. But understand this. The love of Christ is in you. I've seen it, and I thank God for it. And in light of that, and if you truly consider me a partner in the gospel, do this. And yet he speaks again of the same love here in verse 20. I want some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. A reflection of verse 7. Verse 21, confident of your obedience, I write to you knowing that you will do even more than I say. Again, focusing on his obedience. So confident of your obedience, I know, I am certain that Philemon, you will do even more than I say. And so my request to you in verse 17 is for you to take your former slave and receive him back as you would receive me. But confident of your obedience, I know that you would do even more. Now, what is this even more? Could it be emancipation? Could it be taking Onesimus and sending him back to Paul, knowing that Paul misses this guy, loves this guy, and finds him useful in his ministry? Paul leaves it up to God to work through Philemon to do whatever he wills. But I am confident that if Philemon was to truly look at his former slave Onesimus as a brother in Christ, there would be no room for him to look at him as mere property. And so going at the heart of things and wanting that transformation to continue to take place in Philemon's heart, Paul addresses something far bigger in emancipation. And emancipation can result from a changed heart. So confident of your obedience to the will of God, I know that you, Philemon, will do far more than what I am requesting. And my one request that I've been appealing is for you to take him back. But oh, how much more I know you'll be able to do as you are obedient to the will of God. Verse 22. At the same time, prepare a guest room for me, I am hoping that through your prayers, I will be graciously given to you. And so Paul, in prison, because he could have been house arrested at this time. As he is in prison, he mentions to Philemon, hey, set up a guest room for me, because I'm really hoping that through your prayers, I can be gone and be with you sometime soon. But in that very process, he's also really referring back to verse 17, right? That if you were to receive Onesimus as you would receive me, and as I'm referencing about you receiving me, whatever sentiment you're feeling right now, apply that to Onesimus. Set up a room for me. I really want to see you. Oh, Paul, how I miss you. Here's your former slave. Oh, Onesimus, how I've missed you. Let go of the wrongs. And if you can't let go of them, I'll cover it. But receive him as you would receive me. And he goes on, verse 23 to 25. Verse 23. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ, Jesus, in Christ Jesus, sends greetings to you. And so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Now, if you look at this verse and these names, you will also see them if you turn your Bible a little bit back to the book of Colossians. So the last verse, the last chapter of Colossians. So Colossians chapter 4, and if you browse through verse 10 through verse 17, you will notice that these individuals are also mentioned in the greetings to Colossians. And so it is very probable that Paul wrote the book of Colossians in the same time, in the same settings that he was writing Philemon. Because if you look in Colossians chapter 4, beginning in verse 7 and 8, Tychicus will tell you all about my activities. He is a beloved brother and faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how you are, how we are, and that he may encourage your hearts. Verse 9, and with him, Onesimus, our faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you. They will tell you of everything that has taken place here. So in all likelihood, the same Onesimus that Paul refers to at the end of Colossians, and as he ends his letter in Colossians, sends greetings from these individuals, are the same individuals that you can find in the last chapter, the last verses of Philemon. And so as Paul is writing the letters to the church in Colossae, the personal letter to Philemon, and as he is sending Tychicus and Onesimus to tell them of what has happened to him, it is also very possible that Onesimus himself would have been the one carrying this letter to his former master, Philemon, in Colossae. And here's what I don't think happened. I don't think that Philemon, should he have been the one to deliver the letter, brings up the letter, Onesimus, excuse me, brings up the letter to Philemon. Philemon looks at it. Where have you been? To the gallows, where you deserve to be hanged. And I say this because how often are we so caught up in a wrong that has been done to us that we fail to forget how we've been forgiven? And so that I pray that my appeal, the appeal that we've been looking at in the book of Philemon, that as Paul appeals to Philemon to bring about reconciliation with his former repentant, changed, former slave, Onesimus, I pray that you would begin to reflect in your own life and be honest about who it is that you need to be reconciled to. And why you have yet chosen to do so. This is a truth that it's been very hard for me, because prior to being an intern here, I was at a church in Florida. And I got saved in 2006 and knew that the Lord was calling me to ministry. And so I let go of everything, my job, whatever. I knew that God was calling me, but I didn't know where to start. But I just knew that I had to fully focus. By the grace of God, I ended up at a church in Florida. And there were three pastors in particular, the leaders of the church. They poured into my life, and I received from them, and I held them in such high regards. 2.5 years into being on staff at the church, I get called to their office for an incident that I truly believe was a misunderstanding. I get called in. I'm asked, do you have anything to say? Assuming that we're going to address the situation, I didn't want to make any excuses. I just said, I have nothing to say. Allowing them to speak. And the next thing that comes out of their mouth, Hansley, we've decided to lay you off. Never address the issue. Never address the situation. Decision has been made. We decided to lay you off, effective immediately. So here I am. Everything, I've given up everything for being in this place, fully invested in this place. And I used to even sleep at this place. Everything I've known, my source of income, everything as a baby Christian in this place being ripped out, felt like, by these three men. And I have to be honest with you. I hated them after that incident. I was so hurt in how the situation was handled, so broken by how quick they were to dismiss me. It was, and I say this carefully, but to me, they were as good as dead. And I don't mean this vigilante show up in their house and shoot them. More so than this complete dismissal. I don't even want to see you. I don't want to hear about you. I don't want to think about you. I don't even want to shop in the same shopping mall you shop at. You are completely dismissed from my world. And I live with that. in my room by myself, no work, nothing to do, just harboring this hatred toward them. And as God continued to lovingly show me the reality of the gospel and how loved I am in Him and how indebted I am to Him, the fact that He, being in very nature God, did not grasp that, but humbled Himself to the point of obedience, then who am I to stay on my high horse and trying to grasp this apology or whatever that was keeping me from being obedient to the will of God in this area of reconciliation? And so I don't stand here assuming that this is a truth that you're simply going to take and easily apply. It's been a hurtful process for me, a humiliating one, as it exposed my own sin and my own selfishness. But nevertheless, I stand here today by the grace of God to not only confess that there's been reconciliation between me and these three men, but God is now using me as an agent of reconciliation between the three of them, as there had been a breach in their relationship as well. And so, whatever it is that you are trying to grasp, whether it is your sense of justice, your perfect spouse, whatever wrong that you feel you need to hold on to, I pray that you would choose to get off your high horse and realize that Jesus Christ rode on a donkey and a colt as He entered Jerusalem to the point of obedience, a humiliating death on a cross, bearing your sins. And in light of this gospel that some of you have come to know, may you seek reconciliation at all costs. I have to end due to time, but I do want to preface this in saying that Onesimus was repentant, and he himself was willing for this to take place. And so there is discernment and a careful balance as to what reconciliation may actually look like in every circumstance. Because the last thing I want to do is open you up for more abuse in a given situation. But nevertheless, seek the Lord. Do His will. And as His word is penetrating your heart, if there is indeed a need for reconciliation, seek it at all costs. And if you are in a position, as Paul was, to promote reconciliation between two others, believers in the faith, who need to operate in light of the gospel, I pray that you would be fully invested in that process, whatever it may look like. Let me pray for us. God, thank you so much for what you've done for us in the cross. And Lord, it is this love that we want to be motivated by. In light of knowing you and the surpassing value thereof, God, I pray that we would be willing to humble ourselves to be obedient, and to seek reconciliation in a way that is honorable to you, that is reflective of the gospel, and that is in obedience to your will, God. And it is through you, Jesus, I pray. Amen.